fellowship. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 through 41. Watch and pray. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Monday night combination night of prayer, Bible teaching, and then pray. After the Bible teaching is over, with Pastor Fred. So let me see. Pastor Fred is here with us. And hello, Pastor Fred.
Hello, John. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you. Thank you. How about yourself?
Yeah, we're doing fine, thank you. Lord's good. No complaints.
All right. Okay.
We're on our way to heaven.
We're marching to Zion.
Enjoying every day of it.
Beautiful, huh? Beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. How's that, huh?
Good. Good.
All right. So, do you have your sermon on Sunday for us?
No, I didn't preach on Sunday. The gentleman who'd been with us, a black gentleman who's really been a blessing to the church, actually worked at the lab doing what my father-in-law did.
Oh, really?
He started as a janitor. He started as a janitor and then was there for 39 years and just left just this last month, and he's purchased a place in Maryland, but he was always rejoicing, always had a testimony, and always very supportive of everything in the church, and walked into the church one day and just said, the Lord told me to come. That was 2.5 years ago. Oh. And he was an elder in the church, did a great job. So we're going to miss him, but praise God, God will send other people.
Now, was Sunday his last day?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, we have scriptures here.
Yeah, Brookhaven Lab, I don't hear anything about it. Is it still in existence?
Who?
Brookhaven Lab.
Oh, yeah. No, it's still there. Moving ahead with quantum stuff and what they call those, the colliders, those things that go around circles. They're doing all kinds of stuff there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I guess it was Long Island that would be in the news, but sometimes I heard things nationally about Brookhaven Laboratory also.
Yeah. Yeah, they were, yeah. They've had different ups and downs, but they're always doing something. Aren't they all trying to find the origins of Earth, all of them?
Well, the Bible in Hebrews 1:3 says Jesus Christ upholds all things by the word of his power.
Amen. And so So they're looking at what the Lord Jesus is upholding.
Right. And the power for the universe being held together and all is outside the universe. It's from the spiritual realm.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay, so Amen. I'm turning you loose now.
Okay, fine. There are many firsts in Scripture. And do you know where many of the firsts were? Where was the first love mentioned? Where was the first, first wine and first drink, tithe, hundredfold blessing, first justification, first so many things, first prayer in church, in the Bible. We'll have a look at those just if we can. And let's read it from Hebrews 11, verse 6, by faith. Well, let's have a prayer first. Father, we thank you for your word. Everything revolves around your word. You even said, Lord, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. And yet you said to us that you are the bread of life. Your son was on earth and said, I am the bread of life. So he's telling us that not only do we need the Lord Jesus Christ, but we need his word. They work together. In fact, he is the word. And so it's an amazing thing, Lord. We can do all things through Christ, but we still need the word day in and day out because he wants us to be in the word. And so we thank you for the word and we bless you for the word that you've given to us, for the way it encourages us, for the way it tells us what our future is going to be, where we're going, what we're going to enjoy in the future, what you've prepared for us, what you've planned for this earth and for mankind. We thank you, Lord, and bless you. Allow your Holy Spirit to speak through your word each day of our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know why, but my throat seems to have allergies or something, but I'll do the best I can.
Okay.
Hebrews 11:6, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out and not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Joseph, Jacob, the heirs of with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one and of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And then it goes on now. I want you to understand that you get heaven from Abraham. You get the fact that we're strangers and pilgrims on the earth from Abraham. You get that we look above ourselves, beyond what this world is, to where we're going, from Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Now listen to this verse very carefully. From whence also he received him in a figure. Now, that's what really triggered me here to give this sermon. I gave it 2 weeks ago. From whence also he received him in a figure. What's a figure? As a parable. We've got to understand what a parable is. It's a revelation of a truth, but it's also a hidden truth too, that is clear to those who understand. And so we're to look for symbols and tokens and pictures and figures and parables in the scripture. Jesus used parables, and so you have this idea, this verse that says that he received, from whence also he received him in a figure. It's amazing. All the firsts that you have with Abraham. But let's quickly look at his life and get some of those firsts as we go through. The first recorded prayer to God is in Genesis 12:8. Now other people had, obviously Abel and Enoch and others, spoke or prayed, but it's not recorded. This is the first recorded prayer where somebody called upon the name of the Lord, even though it says, I believe, in Seth, men began to call upon the name of the Lord early in Genesis, but here in 12, verse 8, it specifically says a man called upon the name of the Lord. And then you also, well, let's just look at some of the life that he had. He was called out of, then here's an interesting part of it. John, did you know that God appeared to him while he was still in Mesopotamia, even though it says in 12 he was in Haran? You read in 11, Genesis 11, it says that they were in Haran. But in Acts 7, verse 2, if you'll read it, John, for us, 2, 3, and 4. Do you have it? Can you get it quickly? Acts 7, Stephen's sermon, we get something of Abraham.
Acts 7.
Well, you can go 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay. All right, just hang on here. Let me get it. All right. Then, Acts 7. And then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men and brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto
Haran. Yeah, go on.
Charan?
Well, Haran is where we're talking about. If you read the Old Testament, it's the same place.
Okay. And said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into a land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan, is the way I pronounce it.
Thank you.
And from thence, when his father was dead, he moved into this land where ye now dwell.
Yeah. Well, it's just something that I didn't realize, that he had heard from the Lord before he went to Haran. It was while he was in Mesopotamia in the era of Chaldees. It's amazing. That's according to Stephen. Back in Genesis 11, you know that he's there with his father. Anyhow, let's keep looking at Abraham's life. He received promises from God. He was asked to go to Canaan. He went to Egypt later on when there was a famine, came back to Canaan. He took his nephew, Lot, and twice he actually rescued him from trouble. The first time when they had the war against the kings that came and took him and a whole bunch of kings away. There was he had 318. Abraham had 318 men of war in his own entourage, in his own place, and then he would made friends with two other tribes, and they won this great victory. And so he received promises both in Mesopotamia, in Haran, and in Canaan. And he actually rescued Lot again by praying. Well, first of all, he let Lot go to Sodom. And Sodom, you remember, he chose the better land and got stuck in Sodom. And then Abraham prayed for him. But in the meantime, the first time when he won that victory against those kings, he met a king, a priest, the king of Salem, Melchizedek. And that's where we first, and these are another firsts. I want you to look at all the firsts that we get with Abraham. And you also know that he was, he understood the gospel from what scriptures tell us. But he met this priest, possessor, a priest of the Most High God, and they shared bread and wine in chapter 14, verse 18 to 20. He was a priest of the Most High God and obviously was in the line of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus was a priest after the order of Melchizedek, as you read in Hebrews. So he basically confirmed the covenant, and with him, with that bread and wine. So you get the bread and wine for the first time, and you know, we celebrate the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. 6,000 years later, and we. We discover the blessing of the Lord came 6,000 years ago to Abraham, where he learned about tithes. There's another first. And then we know of the Sarah's not having a baby. She wanted a baby. She had Ishmael, which was not meant to be the baby, which of course is still causing us problems today with the Muslim race. And then Abraham was circumcised at 99. He was visited by those three men. Obviously, one was the Lord. He gave them dinner. And then they predicted that he would have a baby within the next year or so. And he did have his baby. And then when he had his baby, he loved this child. And this was the child that he was to... was the child of the promise. You understand that. So what we have here is in Genesis 12, you have the promise of God, and then given to Moses, to Abraham. And then you have in Genesis 22, let's go to that. In Genesis 22, if I can get to it quickly. It's the time when he's tested. And here's another indication of the Christian life, is that we are tested. We are all tested. But this is a first. You could say that Noah was tested to build the ark. And you'll look in Hebrews 11 that he was an heir of righteousness. But here in Genesis 22, you know the story, but I want you to read it, and that's what I wanted to focus on. Came to pass, after those things, that God did tempt Abraham, tested him, chapter 22, verse 1, and said unto Abraham, Behold, Abraham said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. First time the word is in Scripture. Whom thou lovest. First time the word is in Scripture. And I don't know if you believe in the law of first mentions, but there's an awful lot with Abraham. Take now thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. You know the mountain, Mount Moriah, the place where he offered his son, where he built the altar, is probably the mount where the temple was built and where the Dome of the Rock is today, at least close to that area. But you have this amazing scripture that says, I'll take the very thing you love, the thing you've fought for, the thing you've desired, you and your wife, for over 100 years now, take him and put him on altar, slay him. The dearest thing that we have in life, quite often the Lord puts his finger on, says, I'm interested in that. I would like that. And in this case, Abraham gets up next morning, goes 3 days to where he's supposed to go, where the Lord showed him he was to go, and told the servants that were with him, you stay here. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. So he had some faith to tell them that he was going to come again to them with his son, hopefully. And then Isaac, his son, said to his father, Where's the wood? And his father said, The Lord will provide himself an offering. I love this. Read it in Genesis 22, verse 8. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself. That to me is fantastic words. And for us to learn that God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. That's what he told his son. What's he, a liar, or is he a man of faith? So they went, both of them together, came to the place that God had told him of. Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, laid him on the altar upon wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. That's full surrender, my friend. That's full surrender. And then verse 11, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Now, this next verse is an amazing verse, because Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. What's he looking at? He's looking at the his son. He's untying his son from the altar. He's got the stick of wood still on one side. The altar's not burning. And he looks and lifts up his eyes. You remember when Jesus was risen from the dead, there was a mother or a woman there, Mary Magdalene. She had her eyes filled with water. She was crying. She'd wept. She'd come early. She raced off and told Peter and John. They raced back and looked in and found the empty tomb. And they went away, not knowing what to think. And she went to look in the tomb again, and in her weeping and sad eyes and eyes full of tears, she saw two angels. Now the other two didn't see them. And she comes out, and then she's got tears in her eyes and says, looks at this other person that she sees dressed in white, thinking he's the gardener. And she says, sir, if you know where they had laid him so I could take his body. She was still thinking that she was going to have to deal with his body, with the perfumes she had with her. And guess what? She turns around and looks, and he had to say something to her. He said, Mary, that's all. Just like he said to you and me. Can you imagine what was going through her spirit and her soul and her body at that moment? When she recognizes the Lord of life, the Lamb of glory, the Lord Jesus, the Lord of the resurrection, when she looks at him and she wants to grab him and hug him, and he says to her, don't touch me yet. I haven't ascended to my Father. Now I want you to go back now to Abraham. Abraham looks up, verse 13, lifted up his eyes and looked and beheld behind him a ram caught in the thicket. So he didn't see that ram until after he'd looked up, praise God and thank the Lord, and still wait in belief and in prayer and in understanding. He turns around his back, and what does he see there? A ram caught in the thicket. Now I want you to come with me now to what all this this means. The ram caught in the thicket. You obviously know this. The substitutionary offering of the Lord Jesus Christ as the ram caught in the thicket. But let's look at the first that we received from Abraham, the tithe, the priest, Melchizedek, priest after the order of Jesus, the bread, the wine, the love, the word love, the lamb, the substitution, the fact that we're justified by faith, made right, reconciled, the joy of the test, and the penalty being over, and the penalty being paid for our sins, paid by a lamb. This man who looked for a city that we're told in Hebrews later on. All these wonderful, wonderful indications. So that's why I was saying, pay attention to the firsts that we get. And no wonder he's the father of our faith. You also have resurrection if you look at the scripture in chapter 26, verse 3 of Genesis. For unto thee and unto thy seed, he's talking to Isaac now, the Lord, will I give these countries. Well, they never got these countries. They had to be risen from the dead again before they got these. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. But God said, I'm going to perform the oath, which implies resurrection. He had to come back from the dead, because Abraham was dead when this was spoken in Genesis 26:3. And then you have another interesting thing, is the hundredfold that Isaac had in the famine, Genesis 26:12. You know the story of the sower who goes to sow the seed. Well, some of the seed falls in thorns, doesn't it? Thorns are the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world. Now look at the picture of the ram caught in the thicket behind Abraham, that he had his son and he pull out of the thicket. Well, what does it mean? The thicket is thorns. It's a sign of desolation. What is what are the horns? So horns are symbols of power, of kings, power to protect the animal. Psalm says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress. I will go to him. But it's the authority. The authority, and understand this, it's the Lord Jesus Christ who gave up his life for us so that we might receive salvation. He put his horns into the thorns and the thicket and was captured by the thorns and the cares and the deceitfulness and the sin. Thorns symbolize evil in the heart, choking the word. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have this picture, this first-time picture of the Lord, the Lamb of God, who gave himself away, gave his power to the things of this world to overcome them without sin, took over the power of sin for us. Psalm 89:17, in your favor, our horn shall be exalted. Talking about David, the anointed king. Luke 1:69, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in his servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 69 to 74 of Luke. Delivered from the enemies that we might serve him without fear. It's a powerful salvation that we've been given because our Lord Jesus, the Lamb slain before the creation of the world, his power, his authority was caught in the thickets by those thorns, the cares and evils in our hearts, choking God's word from us, causing his death on the cross. Now I would like to just read and finish off with some wonderful verses. Now there's a lot more that I would have shared, but with these firsts that came as a result of Abraham. But I thought it was fascinating that we read in Hebrews that they were a figure to us, a parable, a picture. But if we go to, just to finish off, too many of us don't realize, as Christians I'm talking, very few sermons are preached on where we're going after heaven, after we leave this earth. And there are many, many scriptures indicating to us that probably we'll be coming back with Jesus. But let me read the verses in Isaiah 50 about the Lord Jesus and what he went through for us with that ram caught in the thicket by its horns. The Lord God has opened mine ear. I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. This is Isaiah 50, verse 5. Now verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. I know that I shall not be ashamed. And then come with me to the last few verses of 52 before we go to 53 of Isaiah. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted, extolled. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which has not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. And then we go into Isaiah 53 and those marvelous verses. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Verse 4 says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now, my friend, there is in this same area of Scripture, there are so many wonderful scriptures of why Jesus went to the cross for us to bring salvation. I want to read Isaiah 51, verse 1. Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit where you are digged. Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. The Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. This is where we're going to be with the Lord, my friend. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgments to rest for a light of the people. And then you just keep reading that and reading that, and read again to verse 11. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with the singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I, even I, am he that comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of man that shall die, and of the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth his heavens and laid the foundation of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor. For I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea. And it goes on and on of the wonderful things that he has prepared for us. And you know, John, I don't think the angels are going to need horses when they come back. I think there's many, many horses that we're coming back on when we come back with the Lord Jesus when he comes to this earth. There's wonderful, something wonderful he's prepared for us. And we should preach more about it and be praising him for it. He started off with Abraham. Abraham was looking for that same city, looking for that same heaven that we're all looking for. That heaven is going to be here on earth in the millennium. We're going to be enjoying life with the Lord and living a life that we could never imagine. All because the ram caught his horns in the thicket and died for us and became the Lamb of God, slain before the creation of the world. Father, we praise you, we thank you, we bless you. You've given to us so much. Open our eyes and our ears to your word. Help us, each one, to know more about you, to be more thankful, to be more grateful, to praise you and bless you and sing songs and read more of your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Sorry, John, for my voice, but that's the way.
Oh, no, it was fine, Fred. It was fine. It was very, very good. Thank you. Thank you. It was excellent. And there's one thing.
All those firsts were coming from Abraham.
The one thing that I just picked up this year, about Hebrews 11 and Abraham, is that it doesn't say in like Genesis that Abraham was looking for the city whose builder and maker is God. It reveals it in the New Testament.
Exactly. And there are a lot of things. Stephen revealed that he was in Haran when the Lord called him.
Right.
the first time.
So, but here's the thing. That about the New Jerusalem and all, that's like, I noticed that's hidden from the Jews, friend. That's hidden. That's revealed in the New Testament.
Well, what about Isaiah and the prophets and that? But it's kind of all veiled. That's for sure. We look at it differently, don't we?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, we do. We do.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's very, very interesting. So when God talked to him there in Mesopotamia, when he talked to him in Ur. Or the Chaldees, he must have revealed that to him.
Well, Mesopotamia was where Ur of Chaldees was.
Yeah, it's that down at the bottom place. Of it. Ur is like getting close to the Persian Gulf. You know, it's down. And so that was a motivating factor in Abraham's life.
Amen. Yeah, he thought perhaps that. Well, God had made him promises. You can imagine, as a natural person, someone gives you a promise, this land is all yours, and then I've got, he thought there would be a great city of God, because he'd lived in Ur and seen this great city. And it was a tremendous things going on there, which people don't realize how much civilization was there. How much schooling was there? They had bricks that they were, you know, trying to build that to heaven, or bricks that they were building places with, and they were having all kinds of education and water that was running into their homes, all kinds of stuff, civilized stuff that was all lost until they started to unearth it. If you read Darlene's book. All right. Thank you, John.
Yes. Thank you, Pastor Fred. That was really, really good. Yeah. Now, are you going to preach that?
I did. I didn't preach the part about knowing about where we're going in the last, I was in Isaiah, but I preached all that 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was going to preach it last when you did the war thing, which was wonderful. Memorial Day, your Memorial Day 2-hour rally was quite comprehensive. It was wonderful.
Well, I'm glad you were blessed.
Yeah.
I mean, God, you know, when we were talking about the weather, do you remember in the book of Judges when the Midianites were coming against Israel and they had the chariots of iron?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And what happened? The Lord sent rain.
Yeah.
And all those chariots got caught in the mire there, and they couldn't move.
Yeah.
And then it was easy for the Israelis to go and kill them while they were in their chariots.
Decapitate them.
Yeah. The weather can be a real, real, real factor. The timing of the weather.
Amen. What do you think of this? Go on.
There's a story in World War II about General Patton and his army. The weather was horrible, and the army was all bogged down, and he called for the chaplain, and he told the chaplain, like, to beseech the Lord for good weather. And he said, I want you to write out a prayer. So he did. The chaplain did. And he read the prayer to Patton. And then the next day, it wasn't supposed to happen, but the next day, the sky was crystal clear. And our Air Force could take out a lot of the German positions and drop supplies.
Amen. So, didn't he get the whole army to pray it, or just
No, I don't think it was the whole army. No, I think it was just the chaplain.
Uh-huh. Wonderful.
Yeah. Now, there was something you just said.
Well, today, well, we know the news today, what's going on with Ukraine. Do you think that was an answer of the Lord to try and slow things down in current events or not?
This is really kind of scary, Pastor Fred, because is the Ukraine able to pull that off without, like, NATO help? Without the United States, because apparently he said they've been working on this for a year and a half.
A year and a half, yeah.
So that would have been in Biden's time.
Yeah.
No, and did Biden approve of this? Or I don't know if he could, whoever's running the country, could he approve of this? Well, was NATO doing it? Because if NATO was behind that and the United States, did they fail to tell Trump? I mean, there's a lot of things in this because this is a huge attack on Russia. And if NATO was behind it, I mean, this is enough for Putin to go to war against NATO.
NATO didn't have to be behind it, John. It was $70,000 versus against $7 billion. $70,000 it cost them to get that. He did that on his own. The Lord has given them wisdom beyond their own, and they used Russian trucks to take it in. How did they get that done? Because they're all Russians, aren't they?
There's a Russian underground that's against Putin, and they must have worked that underground. But as long as it happened like you said it happened, where the Ukrainians pulled it off on their own, and like we weren't behind it. Because
Trump's enough money from us to do it.
Well, yeah, the money thing, but the actual, you know, providing them with technology.
But they used commercial drones that you can buy on the world market.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying.
As long as we weren't behind that, that's good. Because then Putin has to eat it, swallow it, that Ukraine did it on their own and that we weren't directly involved in it or NATO wasn't directly involved in it.
Yeah, well, but I just thought that folk have been praying and asking the Lord to bring about a change in this thing. And why at this time was it unleashed at this time?
Well, to me, it was to kill the treaty, the truce.
Oh, you think so?
Well, look at it. They met today and it didn't go anywhere. I mean, they met for about an hour. And he just bombed, he did that to Russia yesterday. And Russia attacked Ukraine like a couple days before that and blew up all sorts of things in the Ukraine. So they're really slugging it out now. And I don't think either one of them has any attention. You know, they're doing it basically because Trump has kind of forced them to do it. But I don't think they have any attention
giving up any land on either side.
Yeah.
That's basically it. Now the British and French and Germans want to come in with all their armaments.
They don't have
anything.
That may
be dangerous.
They don't have anything.
No, I know. Well, they think they have it.
But the Lord spoke to me today, and I wanted to share this with you, and I wanted to share it with prayer tonight. Terrorist that firebombed the Jews there in Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah.
I showed it last night. Sunday night we have the, I go over the news of the week before. But he did that. And I don't know what building it was in Boulder. I think, but I'm not sure. It was like the county center there or the city center. All right. Mm-hmm. And then there was a door And hanging above the door was the homosexual flag, because in this is the LGBTQ month. Although Trump didn't endorse it. Trump did not endorse it like Biden did all these years. So the good thing is the federal government has not endorsed it, but local governments are. Like apparently Boulder endorsed it, and the guy was literally right in front of it with these gas bombs he made. And I had forgotten, once Trump dropped the LGBTQ month, I kind of forgot about it, but it's being celebrated on state and city levels. I saw in sports where like all the baseball teams and the women's basketball teams are all behind Gay Pride Month. We need a lot of repentance. You got to be crying out to the Lord for mercy.
Oh boy!
Because that attack was right there, over the head of the terrorist. You could see the Gay Pride flag.
So sad. Yeah, we need a lot more prayer in this nation, because the cancer is spreading all over the place. State-wise, and not even though the federal government's trying to do something, but the states are still there with their.
I'm sure. New York. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, praise God. Praise God. So sad for those people who were hurt.
Apparently, one of them was a Holocaust survivor. She was very.
The guy in his 80s. 80s.
Whoever it was, you know, very old. They must have been like just a baby.
88.
Yeah.
Well, it was it was 80 years ago that the war was. Yeah. It's amazing. Well, thank you so much, Joe.
All right. Well, let's pray for you.
Thank you.
And is there anything in particular that you would...
We have missionaries from Mexico that we support are at the church now, and we'll be speaking on Thursday. So pray for that, if you would.
Oh, okay. All right. And that's the first time I've heard you mention that.
Well, we have three little sets of missionaries. You with one. These folk in Mexico, the church has been supporting their parents for years and years and years. And now the children are actually running Bible schools in Mexico, and it's growing nicely in Mexico City. And the other one is we support the new pregnancy rescue center in Riverhead.
Oh.
We've been doing that for. So those three things, the churches. It's only a tiny church, few people, but they've been blessing the Lord's work.
Okay. All right. And do you have an update for us on Katie?
Katie's still waiting for this stent in the that's going to happen in June, which is not fun, on the vein going up and down the body. I don't know where the tumor is pressing on it, so it would not cause her legs to swell anymore. They're not swelling right now, but they seem to feel that needs to be done from all the CAT scans and stuff. And she's, one thing is miraculous. Her hair is growing, and she's only had a few reactions, but had no reactions to all the chemo that she's had. All the awful things that they said was going to happen haven't happened.
Oh.
So Lord has protected her from all those things.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
So that's a wonderful thing.
Okay. All right. Paula Jean? Yes, hello, Paula Jean. Are you with us, Paula Jean? You must be muted, Paula Jean. Okay. Maybe she might not be there. Sister Kathy, could you lead us in prayer for Pastor Fred?
Yeah, Father, we just rejoice over all the praise reports we've heard. We thank you for Kate not losing her hair and not having any adverse effects, and we just pray that this procedure that they feel they need to do will be just done perfectly and no problem at all. We thank you for the three events that are the three things that the church is sponsoring with the missionaries, and just thank you for the testimony of support for foreign missions and foreign outreaches. And we just thank you for Pastor Fred. Help his throat and anything that's causing that allergy-wise or whatever. And thank you that you're good all the time, and all the time you're good. And your promises are yes and amen. And you're watching over your word to perform it. We just thank you that you're God, and Russia isn't, and Ukraine isn't, and nobody is but you. And you're working all things together for good for your people and according to the counsel of your good will. So bless Pastor Fred. Thank you for the teaching. Thank you for he and Chaplain John's relationship that is just so long-lasting and deep and rich, and the love they have for you is just incredible, and it is so encouraging. So bless everything that concerns Pastor Fred, and help him in everything that involves him, church-wide, family-wise, community-wise, nation-wise, all of the people he knew, Lord, in his missionary days. Just thank you for those relationships, and just bless in the powerful, precious, holy, and perfect name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank
amen.
You.
Yeah, Pastor Fred, did I tell you that I had to go to the hospital for pains in my chest?
No.
Yeah, I don't think I did.
When was this?
Just recently. And
oh, well, that's no good.
Yeah, but listen what happened. I felt fine, and it was a Friday, and I called Pastor Ernie, and we talked about the show that night, and he was fine. And it was after my birthday. Nancy took we went to Cracker Barrel for my birthday, and on the way home from Cracker Barrel, I started not to feel good, and then I came home and I sat down, and I got worse and worse and worse, and I had trouble breathing, and my whole chest was pain, and I had to stand up to breathe. So Nancy called John, and John came over, and we were talking, and he said, well, come on, I'll take you to the emergency room. He said to me, I've never seen you like this before. So I went to the emergency room, and they did actually two EKGs. They said my heart was absolutely perfect. They did an X-ray. They said it was perfect. And they took the blood test, and they said it was perfect. And they said there's nothing wrong with your heart. Well, I was still in pain. I was still in pain. Yeah. But the next day, it went away. But I did then have a lot of gas. And I was thinking that perhaps it was food poisoning, a little,
yeah.
You know, there's like...
Sounds like it.
Yeah, yeah. So then Ernie called me the next day, and he told me that just as the show was starting, he said he got these tremendous pains in his chest, and he couldn't breathe, and he had to stand up to breathe, and that he had... looked at my, I had sent him a text, and he saw that I couldn't come because the pains in my chest, we had exactly the same thing at like exactly the same time. He couldn't finish the show really. Someone else had to take over and prayed. They had a lot of prayer. He prayed for the most of the time. He did an EKG. They said it was really bad, and he ended up going into the hospital for his heart. They did another EKG, and his heart was fine. And they did, I didn't call him today. I was going to call him today. And they said that his problem was gastronomical. There was something wrong with his digestive system that put all this gas in, and then it crunched the lungs and affected the heart. We both had the same thing at the same time that looked like heart trouble, and it was not heart trouble. And then there's another, I don't know this other pastor, Hal, who works at Pastor Ernie, and he had the same thing. Now, he wasn't on the show Friday, but Friday he had the same thing. I think he went to the hospital too. So all three of us had it at the same time, and Hal's heart was fine, mine was fine, and Ernie was fine.
Wow, shows you how the enemy's attacking people.
Yeah, I mean, coordinated like that. What else could it be?
You know? Yeah, it could have been something that was they got. Did they eat out too or not? You don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Wow.
But I was absolutely fine. And I couldn't breathe.
Oh, praise God.
I had to stand up to breathe. I had to walk around and stand up, and it was like my chest was being crushed.
Wow. Well, John, just keep. You got a lot of 77 more years to go, so don't worry.
So, yeah, I know I didn't tell you that. Somehow it hit my mind.
Well, you're right. I would have been praying. I should have known about it, but I didn't. So I'm sorry.
No, it's not your fault. Yeah.
No, but I did pray for you. When was it? I don't know. During one night, I woke up and prayed for you.
Oh, thank you.
So, Lord, remind you some of these things. Anyhow,
all right.
Thank you so much.
And one more thing, Father.
I'm glad it was. Glad it was just gas.
Well, yeah. I think it was a touch of food poisoning. That's what I think.
Don't tell any of the greenies that you were affected by gas.
But
okay,
Father, we ask your blessings on Pastor Fred, Lord, the family. I ask you for all your blessings on Nate also, Lord. And we thank you. We thank you for him, Lord, and the church. Great blessing upon him as he ministers to those in the church now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much.
Okay. We'll be in touch.
Okay. Lord bless.
Bye now. Okay. Well, thank you, Sister Kathy, for the prayer.
My pleasure.
And I'd like to lead off tonight because of this being LGBTQ month. You know, again, not by the federal government, which I think is I know it's a great blessing, but many states are involved, many local cities are involved. And of course, this is a great offense to the Lord. And they promote that sin and they go after the children. So we need to intercede before the Lord. And I showed it last night. Were you there, Sister Kathy, to see that picture? There was a video with the bomber there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And behind him, like over his
head.
Yeah,
you froze the tape to where we could see the flag. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
horrible.
I saw that again today. On one side, they must have done it on purpose. Whoever it was, where was it from? I think it was from Fox News. There was a split picture, and on the right-hand side was that building with the homosexual flag above it, and then on the left was the terrorist.
Mm.
And he got here on some flimsy thing from Egypt, and then he overstayed, and they didn't throw him out. They gave him a work visa.
How about he was arrested finally, wasn't he?
Oh, he's been, you mean now? Yeah, he's arrested now, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, the whole time he was just walking like nobody approaching him or no, you know, just, so I'm glad.
They said that the police were on the scene there and they responded quickly. That's bull. I watched the video of him threatening the people and walking all around there. Did you see?
Yeah,
and he had like the two of the bombs in his hand.
Yeah.
And he was threatening
them. They called them. Weren't those what, I know they said Molotov cocktails, some, but didn't they call those things flamethrowers? Because he could squirt it and it would shoot a flame.
That's what I think he did. It said they found a backpack and he had five Molotov cocktails in the backpack. Oh, the way they make Molotov cocktails is it's like a gel. You put one of those soaps, Ivory soap. You put gasoline and Ivory soap together and it makes a gel. It's nasty. And then you need a seal on the top. It's usually glass. And you punch a hole in it and you put a like a rag in it. And then you light it on the end and throw it. And then when it hits the ground, it'll burst open, and then the flame is there to ignite it. It is very, very deadly. Mostly. If you get that on you, that burns right down to the bone.
Yeah.
So he had five of them, but if he's standing there with all the rhetoric and hollering Hamas, and where were the police? They said they were
really.
They were there. They said the police were there, and they responded instantly. And no, they didn't. Maybe after he threw the bomb, but or whatever he did. So, Father, we are humble before you, Lord. It kind of took the wind out of my sails when I realized that this is LGBTQ month, Lord. And to me, once Trump ignored it and wouldn't have a proclamation, to me it was over, but it's not over. It's not over. That wicked element here has power in cities and states. And they do that, which brings your wrath on nations. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So, Lord, we're humble before you. And, Lord, we're crying out that what is needed, Lord, is a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit to sweep this thing out, sweep it away. So much of your power is released. And that's what we're looking for. Lord, you know exactly what they do, Lord. They target children. They try to groom children for them, their lusts, Lord. They are wicked and evil, and I think of your, it's in Matthew 19 about offending one of the little ones, Lord, and what happens to those that offend the little ones. That's exactly what these people do. But Lord, they've got power behind them. They've got mayors behind them and they've got governors behind them and city councils behind them and I mean, just wickedness behind them, Lord. It's more than the homosexuals. It's this evil agenda that hates you and your word. So, Lord, you have done mighty, mighty, incredible miracles for President Trump. And we're asking to continue, Lord, a move of like this political revival in there, Lord, to bring this homosexual agenda under control, Lord. To suppress it. And that, Lord, would involve a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we don't want to stop. We don't want to leave it with this gaping wound, Lord, in our society, promoting homosexual marriage, Lord, promoting going after the children to introduce them to it, and then wanting to have hormones changes and all of that, Lord. No. No, Lord, a sweeping move of the Holy Spirit. So we're in full repentance, all of us, Lord. All of us, Lord. This greatly offends you that a nation would do this. And we know what you say in Leviticus, Lord, about the land vomits out the inhabitants, Lord, of the people that do these abominations. And Lord, because of this being LBG, whatever it is, month, we could have a real rough month here, Lord. There could be a lot of bad things happening as the month is opened up with all this sin. I mean, there could be severe weather problems. There could be terrorism outbreaks all over, Lord, and who knows whatever else. So we're asking for mercy, Lord. We're asking for your mercy on us as we cry out to you. And not, Lord, just mercy for mercy, Lord, but we're asking for mercy that it also would include the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's the ultimate what we want. Like, you kind of shook the nation politically already, Lord. You would do it spiritually also. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, Sister Sharon?
Yes, Chaplain John.
All right, you're up.
Okay.
You're at bat. And I expect a home run. All right? You're up at the plate now. And I expect
three on bases. And,
Grant, you're going for it, Grant Slam.
Three balls and two strikes on me right now.
Okay, the bottom of the ninth inning. And we want a Mickey Mantle home run, 500 foot, all right? A 500 foot Mickey Mantle home run.
Right. I love baseball. And matter of fact, they're having the ladies' college playoffs over the weekend.
Oh.
And stuff, and I don't know if it's done or not, but boy, it was some good fast pitch baseball and everything. So,
well, there's one college. Now, of course, the women play different than the men. They play, they pitch underhand, you know, underhand.
Right.
And she throws, I just saw it on the news. The weekend. She throws almost 80 miles an hour underhand.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like 100 miles an hour overhand.
Oh, man. Yeah, right, for overhand pitching.
Yeah.
Yeah, the area to pitch in girls' baseball. And when she was 12, they went to Indianapolis. Their team went to Indy, and they won the World Series when she was 12. And stuff. And you want talk about some baseball. It's like,
you know, I remember talking to her about it because she told me that she was a pitcher, and then through Little League and all through high school and that, I was a catcher.
Oh, yeah.
Baseball. I was a catcher. So it's called a battery.
Wow.
The pitcher and the catcher, the expression is a battery. I don't know where that comes from, but battery. So
right. Wow.
I said to her, we would have made a good battery.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I have to give a lot of merit to you for being a catcher. I always thought that was a very difficult position on the baseball teams and everything. And just interesting. I like the baseball. But if you can't, I used to coach her too, so I love it. And anyway, I was also about what was going on with the man with the Molotov cocktails. I don't know if anybody else read this or saw this, but this came out over the wires right about the time that all this was going on, that 18 people were stabbed in a stabbing attack at a homeless shelter. And I can't remember what town it was in and stuff. But, I mean, can you imagine that? You know, it's just, that was just horrible, just horrible. And just to even think of it. So, you know, you got people that that's totally taken advantage of, and that we just need to pray that these situations don't continue. That's really awful and stuff. So anyway, dear Father God, I just come before you. And first off, I'd like to Thank you for Pastor Fred's teaching tonight and his teaching about Abraham. And it's such a wonderful, wonderful story to hear. And I'm just so glad I got to hear it. My ears were working good. And I really, really enjoyed that. And just a comparison of Abraham taking his son up and was just getting ready to follow God's word and orders and to take his son's life. And that the angels came and stopped him. And it was just, it was wonderful. Just like he was not killed, but he was brought back from the dead right at that moment because he was meant to be killed and stuff. And Abraham followed God's orders. And so the story goes on. And it just was just a wonderful story. It's one of the most important stories in the Bible. And I think that it's one of those ones that we need to read and talk about and get others to read. And I think so. I just thank you for that, God. And I just thank you that, again, that Pastor Fred did teach that it tonight. And I just want to thank you for Pastor Fred and everything he's doing. I pray for his family, that they're well, and for his church congregation. And it's just a miracle that we can have these teachings here online like this. And who would have thought of it 20, 30 years ago? And it's a shame that we have to all of a sudden now again be careful of what we're talking about, where we're talking, who we're talking to, and why we're talking. So, dear Father God, I just come before you and I ask for that protection that we all need, that we as Christians, we know where we're going when we leave this earth. But it is how we leave it that we just need to have the prayers over. And I just want to thank you, dear Father, for Abba Father International. I want to thank you for everybody who's here to pray and everybody who has need of prayer and that they feel that they can come forward and talk to us about this. And that's just one thing that's so very, very important. And it's wonderful to hear other people pray. I just enjoy it so much, dear Father God. And I just want to say thank you again for Chaplain John. And we just had a wonderful time with the animal stories and everything. And I just think it'd be just wonderful if we could get a little mini video of Nancy picking up that cat, dear Father God. It'd just be just joy to our hearts and stuff. And I just thank you, dear Father, for everything that we hear about and everything that you want us to know, dear Father. And all of that is right in your word, the Holy Bible. And I just pray that everybody is able to have a Bible or have access to somebody else's Bible that they can share and stuff. It's just so, so important. And I just want to say thank you for all our overseas pastors, Jamil and Zephaniah, and I can't remember the name of the man who comes and visits and stuff. And
Bishop Reinhardt.
I'm sorry?
Bishop Reinhardt.
Yes, Bishop Reinhardt. Yes, thank you. And I just want to pray now, too, for Pastor Dole's upcoming trip, that it will be safe. And if he feels like he shouldn't go, that he doesn't and everything. And I just want to, again, pray for the safety of everybody around the world and stuff, because we know that there's massacres going on around the world, too. So as we spend this night together with the under the theme of watch and pray, that's what we need to do. We need to watch what's going on, and we need to pray about it. And I just thank you, dear Father, that we can do this. I just thank you, dear Father, that for everybody who's here. And I just pray that we all take heed of what's going on listen to your word and pray to you. And I just thank you for that and for my salvation and everything that's going on in my life. I just love you, dear Father God, and in your name I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay. So let's see who we have next up. Maybe, no, Paula Jean was here. She's not. All right. Gigi and Randy?
Yes. Pastor Fred's teaching was really good.
I mean, excellent.
Very good.
Excellent.
Yep. And I thought it was interesting. I never thought about that the ram was caught in the thorns.
Yeah, on the crown, Jesus is there. And I heard about that before.
Yeah, Randy said he, you heard about it before?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that crown of thorns came as the curse when they got kicked out of the garden. Thorns and thistles.
Yeah, and I was also thinking about the crown of thorns on the Lord when he was on the cross.
Yes, because that came from the curse when they rebelled in Eden. There were no thorns or thistles in Eden. It was only after that. But anyway, I agree. I always do repent for these kinds of things. But what else would you like me to pray for?
Oh,
I'm going to repent.
You're going to repent.
Yeah, I repent. When we repent, that's our privilege to do that.
Yeah. I think we need prayer for President Trump. I think he said the longer this goes, the more danger he's. Well, he's in danger anyways, but the more dismantling he does of the deep state and all. They've lost their minds over him and his violence rising. So his protection, please, and guidance.
Yes. And there's also, from what I understand, there's also a lot of things going on that are not really being reported, in regards to like what's actually happening in New York and a lot of these bigger cities where there's not a lot of reporting about what's actually happening. And so, there's riots and all kinds of stuff that it's not actually being totally reported. So I want to pray about that too.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So Lord, first of all, we just want to thank you and praise you for your word and that we know, even though the world is falling apart, we know it's falling into place in exactly the way that you have designed it. And as we are watching these things, we are concerned, Lord, but we know what's coming. We know why it's coming. And we know the end of the story, which is such a privilege, Lord. And we are looking for the blessed hope. We are waiting for you, Lord. And we know that your desire is that no man would perish. So we are praying, as John and Kathy prayed earlier, that we are asking you for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I know that there's some movement going on in Austria and Norway and even part of Amsterdam. I don't know how big it is, but I know there are outpourings going on there. And so we are asking you to have mercy on us here in the United States. And we've been praying for an outpouring, Lord, and we're looking for that. We're really looking for that, Lord. And we're not only asking for an outpouring with the general population, but we're asking for an outpouring in the government, in all the parts of the government. and that there would be an outpouring on the people that are in Congress and in the House that are believers, and that the gospel would spread far and wide and make a huge difference, Lord. We're not interested in political parties. We're interested in justice and truth and the law, and that your name will be glorified. So we thank you for the people that do believe in you, and they're trying. They're trying to do what they can, and so we pray for those people. We pray for each and every one of them. We pray for protection over President Trump. We pray protection over all of the people that are working together to do what needs to be done. Thank you that they're actually trying to follow the law. And it's incredible, Lord, to see how lawless these people are, even the judges. So, Lord, for mercy, please remove the wicked from our government and from our judicial system. And we know time is short, but we're still asking for that, Lord, so that people that have been, who've been cheated, people who have been ignored, people who have been abused, Lord, that you would take care of these things. Thank you that part of the administration is doing that. But I saw a news report today about Lahaina and some really terrible things because they're not supporting these people that lost their homes. And it's a really dire situation there. And so, Lord, we're just praying for mercy, that you would show mercy. And, Lord, we especially want to pray for President Trump and his family, for their protection, Lord. We know that evil has no bounds, but your hand has been upon him, and we're continuing to pray that it would continue, and we pray that you would give him good judgment, good guidance, Lord, and good people around him. And we're grateful, Lord. We're so grateful, Lord. And I want to repent again. I've been repenting a long time about what's going on this month and all the different things that, not just this month being Gay Pride Month, but all the other laws and or edicts that were given to promote wickedness. And Lord, I pray that these stores, we know that there are stores and companies that have said that they're changing their ways, but they just change the names on things and just do what they want. And so, Lord, we repent for all of that. And I know we don't shop at quite a few of those places anymore. Wouldn't dare go in there. I don't want to support things that are evil. And there's even a place that we don't eat anymore because of what they posted and what they had in the restaurant. We just won't go back. And help us, Lord, to have discernment. We don't want to support anything that's wicked and evil. And we do continue to lift up Pastor Fred and his family and his church. And we thank you. We thank you for his wise teaching. And it's so worshipful when he's teaching. It's incredible. So we pray for protection over Pastor Fred and his church and all the people there. And we're praying for an outpouring there, that there would be many, many people that would come to Christ now. And we continue to pray for John and his family and all of Abba Father Fellowship's pastors, that you would continue to help them and watch over them, Lord, and protect them. I know there's quite the outbreak of evil going on in parts of Africa in particular, and famine and war and all kinds of things. And the news isn't reporting on any of that. So, Lord, we are asking you to bring down this stronghold of people not being able to get the truth. They have to search or know someone about medical things, about the environment, about what's actually going on around the world. And we pray that those things would become more and more available to people and they would wise up. And we pray over this move of these young men, especially on campus, that are embracing being conservatives, embracing being who they were created to be. But we also pray that there would be an outpouring of you drawing all these young men to you. And we're so grateful, Lord, that this generation has awakened to the truth, and they want to be who they were created to be. I am so grateful. It's so heartening, Lord, to see things like this. And so we just want to give you glory and honor and praise. And I want to pray over everybody in Abba Father's Fellowship, and that includes all of us that pray together and people that are watching, that you would continue to provide for each and every one of us, that you would give us great wisdom, Lord. There's a lot of things that are kind of confusing. We don't really know what to do about it. There's lots of us that have choices to make, and it's difficult. And we pray that you would help us to be able to conserve what we have, and that you would watch over each and every one of us. And we pray a special prayer for Sharon. We're so grateful for her. We're grateful for her. Grateful for her prayers, grateful for her presence. And we're asking you, Lord, to heal her in the mighty name of Jesus. Strengthen her, Lord. Strengthen her in her inner man. Strengthen all of her body parts. Bring healing to her, Lord, and comfort. And we pray over her son, who's been very faithful, and we bless him, Lord. And we just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. And let's see. Who was Sister Kathy? Yeah. Sister Kathy, did you pray?
Yes, I did. Thank you. For Pastor.
No, well, I mean, did you pray in general?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Okay. And then on deck is Rita, Sister Rita.
Alrighty. So, Lord, I thank you so much for your goodness and mercy. I thank you for peace that passes all understanding. We have the joy of the Lord, and we can do all things through you who strengthens us. And greater are you that's in us than Satan that's in the world. So we just thank you for all the first of the Bible, all of the potential that we have to succeed and do just absolutely do triumphs through the word. Exploits, great and awesome things can be done when you guide and you lead. And Lord, I thank you for all the examples that there are, Lord, of overcoming, just absolutely overcoming the forces of the enemy. Thank you, God, for just all the people that are on the prayer line now, Lord. I don't know, but I'm sure there's quite a few in chat and quite a few in dial pad. And we thank you for this major army of warriors and soldiers of the cross. And Lord, I thank you for Chaplain John's faithfulness and his commitment to just do what you tell him to do, and you lead and you guide and you provide. So thank you. Thank you that he was healed. Thank you for Pastor Ernie. Thank you for Hal. And thank you, Lord, that this issue will not occur the second time. And Lord, I do pray for Pastor Fred. I pray for Dave and Willie. I pray for Steve in Long Island. I pray for Steve Joy. I pray for Pastor Dove and just all the ministers. I don't know if Michael is still in Branson, but thank you for him and Robin. I pray for Human that will be doing on June the 5th this thing at Rice University. And we pray for no terrorist attack on that. No scene like was in Colorado, God. And I just pray in Jesus' name for open doors and open opportunities for him to just bridge the gulf, Lord, with these murals. And I pray for Mary Mosley and Joy. Thank you for the firebrand that Joy is, and that she will bring many souls to salvation. And I thank you for what Dutch Sheet said this morning. There's a field that is white to harvest, but there are things that must be reaped, and we're going to reap the harvest fields that are ready. You're going to send in angels, and you're going to dispatch us, Lord, to these fields that are ready for the plucking and the harvesting and the reaping. And, Lord, you delight in people coming to you. You just, all of heaven rejoices when a soul comes to you, and we just rejoice as well. And Lord, I pray for the United States. We do pray for protection over Trump. We pray for J.D. Vance. We pray for Mike Johnson and all the people in the cabinet, all the people that are part of his programs, anywhere at all, any way at all. And I thank you for the faith-based office, Lord. And I do pray for Israel, Jerusalem, Netanyahu, Lord. We pray for Taiwan, who has been greatly threatened, and incursion is threatened, and we cannot have that, Lord. And it's a gauntlet that's been thrown down. So, Father, just thank you. Thank you for the mercy of yours that is just everlasting, and your truth that endures to all generations. And, Lord, whatever has been prophesied shall come to pass. Lord, you worked out everything in the before, and you will work out everything in the second coming. So we thank you, God of all comfort, God of all peace, God of all wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And we just thank you that you're breaking the bread of life to us, and we are freely eating and freely drinking. And bless all the revivals that are going on at Times Square Church and all the other places. Thank you for Flashpoint. Thank you for just the revelation that they're bringing to us as people that would otherwise be hearing false news and a vent of the left and the dark state. So thank you, Spirit of the Living God. And we just give you praise, honor, thanks, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And then we have Sister Rita.
Good evening, Chaplain John.
Good evening to you.
Okay. I'll go ahead and start praying here.
Sure, please.
Father, I give you thanks for everything that you've given to me. And Father, you are my refuge, and you are my strength. And Father, without you, I would have been nothing. Satan would have thrown me to the wind. I would be like wheat, and he would have thrown me to the wind and would have destroyed me, Father. But because of your love, Father, you have kept me from that, Father. Father in heaven, you are faithful, and you are faithful in everything. Thank you, my Lord, my God, my Father. Father, I pray for America. I pray that you would heal and forgive America and have mercy on us, Father. I pray that there be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in America from the West and to the East Coast, from the North to the South Coast. And Father, I pray for President Trump. I pray that you put a hedge of protection around him, guide and direct him in all that he does and says. And I pray that he would come to love you, Father, and your son more with each passing day. I pray that you would bless his marriage to Melania. And I pray and ask, Father, that Melania will come to the saving knowledge of your son. And also, Father, I pray that J.D. Vance and his wife would also come to the saving knowledge of your son, Father. And I pray that you would also put a hedge of protection around J.D. Vance and his wife, and that they would come to the saving knowledge of your son, Father. And I pray this also for Elon Musk, that he will come to the saving knowledge of your son, Father. And I also pray for his children, that they also, when they come of age, that they will come, that they would know your son as their Lord and Savior of their lives, Father. I pray for Israel, Father. I pray that you will protect and give peace to Israel. And I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel. And I pray that the Jews in Israel would turn from their secular ways and that they will come to know your son and love your son as their Savior, Father. And I pray for the IDF that you would protect them, and that every single young man and woman that's in the IDF will come to the saving knowledge of your son, Father, before it's too late. And I pray for Prime Minister Netanyahu, that he also will come to the saving knowledge of your son and also his wife, Father. And I pray that you would guide and direct all that Prime Minister Netanyahu does and says Israel, and that he would direct Israel, Father, in the way you want him to. I pray for Chaplain John, that you would strengthen and encourage him, and that you would bless his marriage, bless Nancy and him and their marriage. And I pray, Father, that that you would continue to heal Nancy, and that her hip would completely heal like there was nothing wrong with it. And Father, I pray for all the pastors that are in the Our Father Fellowship. I pray that the churches, that there be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in these churches. And I pray that you would guide and direct each and every pastor in this fellowship and strengthen them, Father, and comfort them and bless their people, and that many souls will come to the saving knowledge of you, Father, of your son, and many hearts would be healed. And Father, I pray for Pastor Fred, that you will strengthen his body and strengthen his heart and encourage him, Father. He has to be really worried about Katie. And I pray that you'll comfort his heart about her. I pray that you guide and direct him and how he leads his church for you, Father. And for Katie, I pray that you would heal her and that you will strengthen strengthen Katie as she goes through this very, very trying time, and that she's going to have a procedure done with stents that is that must be very uncomfortable. And I pray, Father, that you will give her the strength to go through that, and that you would comfort her, and that she would not worry, Father, but that she would put her whole heart in trusting in you and your son, Father. Father, I pray for everybody that is online tonight, and I pray that you would encourage us, Father, and strengthen us, Father. For I pray this, Father, in the holy and glorious name of my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Now, Paula Jean?
Yes, I'm back.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you, Rita. Thank you. Paula Jean, you're the last one to pray. Would you lead us into prayer as we close?
Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are our Abba Father, and we need to be coming to you as little children. And right now, I'm coming to you as a little child for the elderly and those who are in care homes because of disabilities or other reasons, Father God. But I have a friend who's over 90, pushing her age up, and you've blessed her mightily. She is a prayer warrior for others. But right now, her place where she's been taken care of is in shutdown due to COVID. And it reminds me that this is still going on, just as those other things that Jeezy talked about that are going on that we don't always hear about in the news. And I'm, in a way, glad we don't hear about it right now, because it's not making a big deal about it. But as a matter of fact, how it's managed is a big deal. And I pray, Father God, that you enable this particular time of these outbreaks to be managed in a way that is very caregiving of the people in these places, so that ease of connection with their loved ones is ensured, instead of having them completely closed off in the sense of not being able to communicate and know that they're being loved and checked in on and able to talk about what's happening for them. I just ask that you intercede in how things that were badly managed in the past can be managed differently, and the correct medication can be gotten to those who need it, and the killing medication can be kept away from the Father God. I just pray over this particular, in case, see, like Gigi said, we don't know everything that's going on. And in one way, it's good because it's not making it a big deal. But on the other way, I want to make sure that we're remembering people in prayer who are going through traumatic times. And we want them to be able to be in touch with those who love them. And if they have no one who is in their family, if they're singles, alone under such a circumstance, I pray that you send what I call, missionaries to reach out to them through the phone or through the TV, and even so people can call in like our program to receive extra prayer, even if they don't have a family we can be their family, or other places, Father, that you play more of this availability to those who may be going through shut-in situations where they are being, quote, protected from the outside world. I pray that you watch over them and bless them in very special ways and enhance their relationships with you and draw those who don't walk with you towards you in their hunger and thirst, that they might receive salvation during this time. I know that you are able to use that which the enemy means for evil. You can turn it around for good and to have great glory and great blessing as well for those who are being so, plagued. And I just do pray for special healings that testimonies can be given about, and new learning and education for those that are caring for people in those care homes, Father. I just pray that you enter the care homes and especially like in the places of making the food, that it be unusually nutritious and very carefully avoiding the things that can make people sick or their systems be stressed. I just, my friend actually initiated this, but just hearing about the fact that it's happening has my heart going out. And there are so many other different things that are happening, like what Sharon has been through for so long, and Bobby, and taking care of her, needing to have the strength and the stamina, and Ariel just in the different work that she has. And I just pray your covering of Ariel, because I haven't listened to her recently. And every time I do, it's always a big praise you, Father, because you brought her back to our group where we could support the prayers that she lifts up. And I just want to say thank you for bringing the regular prayer warriors and for using the prayers that we lift up to you for blessing the outreaching ministers and preachers, teachers, pastors of the brochures. And this ministry is being spread. It's getting more and more and more. And I praise you for that. And yes, along with the other prayers with regard to Pastor Dove, just help him to know that he's following your lead and just be attentive to doing that and not getting sidetracked in any way. You've given him wonderful timing for the scheduling. And we just pray your blessings over every facet of this trip, from the beginning to the end to after the end, Father God, both for him and Bishop Reinhardt and any others that are participating, Father God, that their hearts be mightily blessed and the light from your Holy Spirit just shine out through them, that people know, be drawn to them. Just like, there are times when someone will be drawn to another just because they see the light. And it's so precious and special when you allow them to touch others in that way with your presence. So just be glorified and heal those that need healing. And bring wisdom to all of us, discernment to all of us, and let us go forth and say thank you, Father, that you're always with us, you're always calling to us, just I'm grateful to be alive. This time is a very special time, and help us all realize what a blessing we have in Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, we had a real nice night tonight, a real good night. So God bless everybody. And tomorrow morning, I'm not there for prayer, so you have to call in. I have a prayer meeting every Tuesday morning, but tomorrow night we'll be back and we'll have Bible study Tuesday night. Yeah, Tuesday and Thursday we have Bible study. All right, God bless everybody. And remember, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Blessings now. God bless you.
O God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift, today we claim,
send the fire today.
Well, God of Elijah, hear our cry.
Off it.